You know, we don't have no idea what none of that looks like, but we can imagine. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what is prepared for me and you when we get to glory. Tonight, if you will, turn to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. I'm gonna try to do this. Right on music. But it's Revive Us Again. Anybody know it? If you know it by heart, or it's on 485, you can sing with me and everything, or if you want to, just listen. But just don't listen to my voice. Listen to the words. All righty? We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our nights. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has bore all our sins and cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Made soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, then the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, then the glory. Revive us again. I know it didn't sound all that great, but hey.
It sounded all good.
You ain't supposed to listen to my voice, am I?
You
ain't supposed to.
Well, that makes me feel good. I tell it like it is.
Well,
you just didn't have the right
team. Well, hey, I don't claim to be no singer.
I don't think he's not. Next time, let me know ahead of time. I'll see if we can get the tune right.
Oh, okay.
I'm not singing with you, but I'll just help you.
No, I'll tell you what. You come on. You can come on up here, and you can get me started. You can get me on the team.
Nancy, all it takes is just get a little
Me.
Actually, you did better than anybody, Richard. Nobody else was singing.
Oh, man.
Christy had been so embarrassed. Oh, my.
Would she?
Yes. Say that song tonight, huh?
Matter of fact, she'd have probably walked out on me. Got the car left. Well, I ain't supposed to be up here. I'm not supposed to be up here to put on a show anyhow. Ain't nobody supposed to be up here to put on a show. We just up here just to do what the Lord asks us to do.
He sounds a whole lot better than some of these songs you hear on the radio.
Well, I'll tell you what. To the Lord's ears, it sounded fine.
Right.
And that's the only one I'm concerned about. All righty. Psalms chapter 37. And let's start reading with verse 1 down through verse 5. Or maybe 6 or 7 or somewhere like that. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy own heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the men who bring it wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to the devil." Fret not. You know, we read that in the fret not is in, let's see, verse 1. Verse number 7, and verse 8, that is three times it is mentioned, fret not. Fret not. Fret not in the individuals that we come up against that seem like that they don't want to hear anything that we have to say. We should not allow them to fret us to the point that we don't want to share God's word to them anymore. I know it passed, sometimes in past I have done the same thing. Somebody will say something to me and say, "Preacher, I don't want to hear it. There's no need saying it." Well, then I'd just turn and I'd walk away. The Lord, I don't believe the Lord was pleased about that. I don't believe the Lord was pleased by me just saying no unto the Holy Spirit, because that's what I was doing. Because see, within this one particular instance that I'm thinking about, that I know it was the Holy Spirit that led me to them. Because I hadn't thought about the individual for probably 25 or 30 years. Matter of fact, I didn't even know if they're still living or not. But the Lord put them on my heart. And then the Holy Spirit started dealing with me about going and visiting them. Now, what did I do? I went and I visited. And they knew what I'd done. They knew what I was doing for a living. They knew that I was a pastor. They knew that I was saved. They knew that I was serving the Lord. But they didn't want to hear anything about it. Why? Because they said, "I got more time. I can wait a little while longer." You don't have that much time. We are not promised. It's 20 minutes to 8. We are not promised 7:45. We're not promised the next 5 minutes. Matter of fact, we're not promised the next breath that we take. Only the Lord God Almighty can do that. But in thinking about that, we need to start reminding people, where did they come from? And I know some will say, well, you came from a monkey. You came from an ape. Well, I got the answer for them for that. I said, well, where did the monkey come from? Where did the ape come from? The monkey had to come from somewhere. The ape had to come from somewhere. Where'd they come from? Who gave these animals the breath that they breathe? And the strength for them to walk up in their land? God Almighty. So it doesn't make no difference if they say, well, you're created just like a monkey. Well, that's all right. I don't care. They can say what they want to. But I know different. And I've asked him, I said, if you can show me, if you can tell me where the monkey came from, who gave the monkey the strength, and who gave the monkey the breath to breathe, you show me. And you tell me where I can find it. Whether you say it's in God's word or not, you tell me where I can find it. And if I can find it, and if I find it, and if you tell me where it's at, if it's out here in the world somewhere, and I go search that out, and then search after searching that out, then I go back and search your Bible out. Because what I'm going to do, I'm not going to go by what the world says. I'm not going to go by what individual says. I'm going to go by what the Word of God says. Because the Word of God is true. And it will stand the test of times, and it already has done that. But, you know, this past, I believe it was Monday. Yeah. It was either Sunday night, Monday morning early, about 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up and go to the restroom. And when I did, right before I left, the blind right there just took the shade and turned one of the shades up where I could look at, because see, we got a light, a floodlight, or what you want to call it, on his shop. And I look out every night back there and see what kind of animals out there, because it's usually turkeys, deer, and raccoons and all that out there. But that night, there weren't no animals out there. So I went to close the blind, and when I did, something caught the glimpse of my eye right here in the corner. And what it was in the eastern part of the sky. No other clouds like that. No other stars like that. It wasn't nothing. It was completely black. Because I couldn't even see the trees behind my house because it was so dark out there. But what I did see up in the sky was on this side a cloud. I really was a cloud, I don't know. But it was shaped something like this. And it was completely white. And it had, it just looked like just like a cloud. But coming out of the right side of that cloud, it was a thin-looking, I thought it was a jet. I thought maybe it was a jet or something, because that's what it looked like. The stream that was going out, it looked like a jet. When a jet goes over, and then you got the force of the jet and the engine and everything, and you've got that white streak. That's how it looked. But see, it didn't have one streak. It didn't have two streaks. It didn't have three. It had one streak. One streak
no ending. It started here at the end of the cloud, went all the way around, circled around, and back into the front of the cloud. I rushed in to get my camera, see if I could take a picture of it. Well, time I got back, I didn't know it was that late. And the sun was coming up. But I kept thinking about it. I got to thinking about what the scripture talks about when he steps out on that cloud. I could just see Jesus right there on the cloud. I could just see him standing right there on the cloud. And I could see the circle where it had no ending. And I could imagine that the people that was going to rise, that was going to rise from the dead first, then the ones that's remaining that love him will rise the same. That give me an indication of what that circle was. And that circle could have been 25. It could have been 100 miles in diameter. But the way I saw it, it won't all at large. But still, it doesn't make no difference because it didn't fill the whole sky. And I got to thinking about something. I said, here it is on the brink of the Lord's return, and we know it's coming soon because of everything that's happened before us. Nothing else that has to happen except for him to step out on a cloud. That's the only thing that has to happen. It's for the father to turn to his son and say, son, now you get on the cloud and you go. And you tell Gabriel to blow the trumpet. And that's when the dead in Christ will rise first, the ones in the graveyard. That's where the bodies are. And don't get me wrong. I know that I think it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, only chapter 15, it speaks about, where this body will go back to where it came from, the dust of the earth. But see, there are still bones like that. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, here it is, the Lord, God Almighty, is taking them bones. Oh, glory. And he's
reaching down, picking up the dust of the earth.
Creating body all over again. But this time,
not going to be the body that we knew him by. It's going to be the body. It's going to be the glorified body.
It's going to be the perfect body. It's going to be the body that resembles the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking about all of that. And I said, here is that circle. With one great big cloud right here. And then a circle going around it like a ring. And I was thinking about that ring, and I was thinking about a diamond.
A diamond is put on a ring. What's a circle represent? The unbroken love that we have towards our spouse.
The unbrokenness that we need to look to. And we know that God's love will never be broken between him and us. Even we cannot even break the love. Yes, we can backslide and we can go against his word.
but we will never be unbroken from his love. Why? Because that's God. But with that great that circle up there, and that cloud right here, and then the little narrow circle going all the way around it, looks like the band. I got to think. Going out here visiting now, and talking to people. How many individuals have you went out and you visited, or you talked to and asked them about coming to church, or if they were saved or anything like that? Everybody that we come in contact with, everybody that I come in contact with, they're saved. At least they say they are. Some of them are in church, but majority of them are not. They have never experienced the love of God, the ones that's not. The ones that's not here. The ones that's not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we here? We're here to serve him. Why? Because of what he done for us at Calvary. And it took a commitment on his part. It took a commitment to the Father on the Lord Jesus' part to fulfill his duty. And it's also going to take a commitment on our part to fulfill what he has for us. If we want him to hand us out inheritance, and if we want him to hand us out rewards, if he wants us to bless us daily, then we must totally commit our body and our life and our soul unto the Lord. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me, said, you know, they was in church. And they said, preacher, pray for me. I said, I will. I didn't ask them about what, I just gonna pray for him. And he asked me, he said, I'm about ready to lose my home. He said, I've already got the phone call yesterday that I gotta be out this weekend. And preacher, I don't know where to go. I said, have you been to the Lord? Have you been to him? He says, yes. I said, well, if you went to him with a sincere heart, why are you still worrying about it? The reason you're worrying about it is because you don't think he can deliver. We're the same way. I'm the same way. Sometimes I'll just question God because, see, I don't think he can deliver. But I know that he can deliver. I have one individual that's on my mind right now that I would never believe that we would be celebrating the birthday that they just had. But see, when God performs one miracle in our life, he's not going to tell us and tell you.
One miracle. If he performed one miracle on your life, and what was the main miracle that he has performed on every individual's life that's here tonight? If you're saved by the grace of God, that's a miracle from heaven because of what he done at Calvary. That's a miracle in heaven.
And do you think that God is going to waste a miracle on me? For me just to go out here and do what I want to do And for him not to ever answer another miracle for my life? No. He gonna answer every miracle that we come to him about. But we must leave them at his feet. We must leave them at the feet of Jesus. We don't need to take them. And when we get up from the altar, after we done just come forth and we prayed and everything, we got in touch with God and we asked God, God, I need a miracle in my life. I need for you to do something that I know that you're still out. I know that you still want to help me. And after we pray the prayer, we should not get up and take what we just prayed and throw it over our shoulder and carry it with us. Because see, when you're carrying it the second time or the third or fourth time, every time that you pick up that prayer that you prayed to him for, you're just weighing your soul down. You're weighing your body down. Open the book of Hebrews, I believe it is. Let me find it. It's speaking about some of that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and this sin which doeth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The cloud of witnesses that I believe, and we have no writer, we have no author at the front that says it wrote this book, but I believe it's Paul. Because one reason I say, and it's Paul in this right here, is because he said, it says right here, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's Paul speaking. So I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to be arguing with nobody. I will not. I said, well, okay. That's fine. It's a good possibility somebody else did write it. But I don't know. I'm just thinking about Paul. But the cloud of witnessing, the witnesses that Paul is speaking about, is a cloud of witnesses like Brother Poovey. Brother Ben Poovey. Another witness for us, for this church, is Sister Poovey. Wow.
They've done their job, didn't you? With the best ability that they had, and with God's help.
Now,
in thinking about that,
I did not know both of them all that well, except when I seen Brother Poovey
at preachers' meetings or different round
revivals or different places. But I believe I can say this, that he was committed to the Lord's work. He was committed into that race that he needed to run. And he needed to run that race with all diligence, with all strength, with no reservation. But he run the race. He got the God seen fit to carry him home early. See, he's one of the cloud of witnesses that's overlooking the banners there in heaven. And he's looking down on Faith Baptist Church. He's looking down on Brother Bill. He's looking down on Sister Donna. He's looking down on Sister Nancy and Sister Betty and Sister Irma and Shelby, my wife, and me. He's looking down upon us. And he's praying for us to run that race. And that he runs so well. I know there's people in Danville. I know some people that didn't particularly care for him. That out there. But a man of God that preaches the Word of God, that preaches from the King James Book, he is worthy for every praise that he can give. And I praise him tonight for it. Because, see, I'm not in case of you don't already know, but he instilled something within your heart that nobody else could take out. Oh, yes, some other people want to take it out because they may have talked about you, or they may have run you down or something like that. See, he put you on this journey. He put you on this journey by preaching the Word of God. And with God's help now, you got on that road and you never looked back. And we can't look back. But what we must do it for our family. We must do it for our kids. We must do it for our grandchildren. We must do it at all costs. Don't worry about I ain't worried about what my daughter may say. I ain't worried about what my wife may say. I'm worried about what the Lord's going to say about me. If I don't speak to them about something. See, the Lord's going to give us. See, we've got to answer him. When we get to heaven, at the judgment seat of Christ, we've got to give an answer to him. After we done went through all of that, and after he recognized us, and after the rewards, some of the rewards that he gives us for being faithful unto him and to serving him and soul winning and all of the things, he will soon be coming back on the cloud. He soon will be stepping out on the cloud. Why? We must lay that weight of discouragement.
We must lay the word on. We must lay
upon the Lord's feet the despair. We must lay all our tears upon his feet. We must lay everything that we have at the Lord's feet. You say, well, preacher, I can't. It's kind of hard to do. You mean, you saying
everything? I said, yeah, everything. That's what he said. Everything.
But see, if we have the willing heart to lay it down at his feet, he's also going to have a willing heart to allow us to keep some of it.
Or he's going to allow us to go and get something else in replace of it.
Just like a whole lot of individuals, and I know y'all have heard this time and time again from people. They say, I can't come to church this week. I can't come to church right now. I got so many things going on in my life that I know that's not pleasing to you and it's not pleasing to God, and I cannot go and walk in your church with the life that I'm living. I can remember one time I used to be like that too. But I had to walk in. I had to walk in. And once you walk into the church, and if God's word is being preached with the Holy Spirit's power, and his word will draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he says that he will save them. And he will cleanse them. And he will make them a new creature. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that he took this old sin-cursed body. I'm so thankful that he took this old sin-cursed mind of mine. And this old sin-cursed heart that I had. I'm so glad that he took it. And he just completely split me open. He took my mind out, my brain out. He took my heart out. He even took my muscles out of my legs. He took all my muscles out of my arms. He took everything out of me, and he cleansed it. He washed it down with his hands. Glory, hallelujah. No sin no more, praise God. And that's what the Father looks down onto. He don't see no sin upon my body. I can go out here and I can do something completely wrong. I can do something, go out here, put completely wrong against the church, against the Holy Spirit, against the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit will speak to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Lord Jesus Christ will take it back to the Father and say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they have done. They're still living in the flesh. And the Father turned around back to his son, and he said, Son, what sin are you talking about? What sin are you talking about? Only thing God the Father sees. We don't deserve it. We don't even deserve the Lord Jesus ever going and taking our problems to the Father. But he does it. Why? Because he's obeying the Father. And if he's obeying the Father, don't you think that we should obey the
Holy Spirit? Don't you think that we should obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you think that we should obey the Father also? He's done so much more for us. He's done so much more for me that I can't thank him enough.
I can't thank him enough. I went to the eye doctor yesterday. And the eye doctor told me, said, you know, Steve, you still got a little sugar behind in your eyes, behind your eyes. Just there. And he told me some things to do. And he said, also you have two cataracts. I said, you mean I'm going to have a Cadillac? Hallelujah. I ain't never worn a Cadillac. But you say you're going to give me a Cadillac to drive around in? And he said, no, you got two of them. He said, well, we're going to wait 9 more months and see how things goes. And you know how it dilates your eyes and everything. When it dilates your eyes, you just kind of... You can't see nothing hard. I can't. But I got home. And when I got home, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ
that he allowed me one more time to be able to pick up his Bible and to read it and not miss a word. Some of the words I did not pronounce right. He didn't have to do that for me. He didn't have to do that for me. And if he didn't do it for me, I couldn't complain. But naturally, I'd have complained like the flesh always does.
I'd have complained, oh, Lord, why me, Lord? Why me? You know, I'm dead at church, and I'm trying to preach, and I'm trying to pastor, and everything. And now that all this is on me and everything, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know what I'd do now. I hope I'd still trust the Lord. I hope I wouldn't act like that. I hope I wouldn't talk like that. I hope I'd just say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see all these many years. And I know that you're going to still do something in my life. I may not have the right eyesight. My eyes may not be completely clear. But you'll give me senses that I don't have now. That I can use those senses to do his work. And I got to thinking about that and everything. I got to thinking about yesterday afternoon when you're driving back from me, coming back from your doctor's office, the eye doctor's office, I got to thinking about Brother Charlie right over here next door. Here it is, he has one eye. That he has a hole through his eyeball. Ain't nothing new about that. Then with the other eye, he has something else wrong with that one. Because it always stays cloudy, real cloudy, the way he can't almost see. But the doctors, they give him a 40% chance of his eyesight will not continue to get worse, but will stay like it is. And he asked that eye doctor in Richmond. And I asked Sister Brenda about it. Asked her, has he ever mentioned it or anything about it? She said, I don't know, but I'm going to ask him. And he did. He Matter of fact, we talked to him about it that day. That he went down there to see an eye doctor. And the eye doctor won't give him all that good of news and everything. And he said, Doc, he said, I want to ask you something. He says, and what you've told me, you say, in my right eye, I have a hole in my eyeball. There's nothing you can do about it. And then my other eye, it's deteriorating, it's staying cloudy, and there's pressure behind that. Doc, you have never said anything to me about maybe a eye transplant. He says, no. And the reason for that is you cannot do an eye transplant, an eyeball transplant. They don't have it. If somebody has a good eye, and then one of them completely goes bad, they can take that eyeball out and they can put a glass eye in. But he says, there's no kind of surgery, nothing that nobody can do about replacing an eyeball with somebody else's. There's no surgery. They've tried. And every try that they've had, they've failed. And he says, right now, they are working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, trying to be able to take another eyeball that where somebody has passed away, take their eyeball, and be able to transplant it. He says, but with this day right today, there's been no success about it. And he says, there are doctors and there are surgeons that's here in the United States. There are surgeons that's in the United Kingdom. There are surgeons in Germany. There are surgeons in Asia, and he says, and we have one Christian surgeon that is in Russia. They all say there's nothing we can do. And he told Charlie, he said, Charlie, the only thing that you have is prayer. Is prayer. He said, we meet. Each one of the surgeons meets at least three or four times a year. And we'll all gather. Sometime we'll gather here in the United States. Sometime it's overseas in London and different places around. But he said, before we get in and start discussing anything, we have prayer for somebody to be able to do something for these people and to allow God to give them the knowledge, to give God the ability to be able to do it. Because if they ever come in with a breakthrough with that, he says, that right there will be one of the biggest breakthroughs we've ever had. And with Brother Charlie, he says, you know, he's got a cane and he walked when he came down and everything. But he still goes. He still goes. Still goes. And he's in church now. And I know the churches, and I know the pastors, and I know the pastor preaches from the King James book. what he's took. Brother Charlie, up under his wings. He takes him out visiting. They go out visiting just about 2 or 3 times a week. And Charlie, he's in with the young people there in his age group. And you know, somebody like that, that's what he needs. He needs somebody his own age. And that's what we need. We need people. Not just the same. I mean, we need them. It don't matter what age they are. We need them all the way from the nursery, all the way from the 1 week old or 1 day old, all the way up to 100 years old. We need them all. All age groups. And we must be there for each and every one of them. We, each one of us, including myself, we need to be there. And I failed my part. I failed my part, and I'll admit it, for not being there for someone that used to come. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And now, God, I pray as we come forth to the altar tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll have one thing on our hearts and on our mind. Is that we can be the source for the hurting people that we come in contact with. Father, help the people not to look at us as individuals, but look at us like God looks at us. And the only way that that can happen is to get born again into the family of God. And Father, we pray tonight that you may just send us somewhere this week. And Father, we pick up a phone and we call somebody. Lord, give us the very words. Don't give us something that would discourage us, Lord. Because I know that's what the devil's going to do. But you give us something that will encourage the people. And Father, we do thank you for these people. We thank you for their loyalty. We thank you, Father, for thy love towards you. Father, my prayer is, God, that you would help me to be the man of God that you want me. Because, Father, if you don't do the touch, there's nothing I can do. We thank you for what you've done tonight. We need to be totally committed unto you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.